Thank you. material desires.
Six wires.
Sorry.
Plus anger.
Six senses. Because of the translation, it is mentioned. Satvarga, six senses. So, senses are like the sharks. So, the ocean of nescience is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerity and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. Translation, please repeat. The ocean of nescience
is
very difficult to cross.
It's very difficult to cross.
Because it is infested.
Because it is infested
with many dangerous sharks.
With many dangerous sharks.
Although those
who are non-devotees
undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean,
we recommend
that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats
for crossing the ocean.
Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter
of
his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. Material existence is compared herein to the great ocean of nescience. Another name of this ocean is Vaitarani. In that Vaitarani ocean, which is the causal ocean, there are innumerable universes floating like footballs. On the other side of the ocean is the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, which is described in Bhagavad Gita 18.20 as Parastashmat tu Bhavanya. Thus, there is an ever-existing spiritual nature which is beyond this material nature. Even though all the material universes are annihilated again and again in the causal ocean, the Vaikuntha planets, which are spiritual, exist eternally and are not subject to dissolution. The human form of life gives the living entity a chance to cross the ocean of human form. Cross the ocean of nescience, which is this material universe, and enter into the spiritual sky. Although there are many methods or boats by which one can cross the ocean, the Kumaras recommend that the king take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, just as one who takes shelter of a good boat. Non-devotees who do not take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet try to cross the ocean of nescience by various methods, karma, jnana and yoga, but they have great deal of trouble. Instead, sometimes they become so busy simply enjoying their troubles that they never cross the ocean. That's an interesting point. Indeed, sometimes they become so busy simply enjoying their troubles that they never cross the ocean. There is no guarantee that the non-devotees will cross the ocean, but even though they manage to cross, they have to undergo severe austerities and penances. On the other hand, anyone who takes the process of devotional service and has faith that the lotus feet of the Lord are safe boats to cross that ocean is certain to cross very easily and comfortably. Ritu Maharaj is therefore advised to take the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord to easily cross over all dangers. Dangerous elements in the universe are compared to sharks in the ocean. Even though one may be a very expert swimmer, he cannot possibly survive if he is attacked by sharks. One often sees that many so-called swamis and yogis sometimes advertise themselves as component to cross the ocean of nescience and to help others cross, but in actuality they are found to be simply victims of their own senses. Instead of helping their followers to cross the ocean of nescience, such swamis and yogis fall prey to Maya, represented by the fair sex woman, and are thus devoured by the sharks in that ocean. Om Agnana Kirandashya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurmritam Yeda Tashmai Shri Gurvendam Shri Chaitanya Manoheshtam Sthapitam Yeda Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamanam Radati Swahatpadantikam Vandiham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurur Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sarvaragunatam Vitantam Sarajiva Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvananita Shri Vishatam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Veda Bhattu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopita Tanta Radha Tanta Namastate Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhan Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Kriye Vanchi Pasupati Vrindavaneshwari 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 Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasadi Gauravata Vrindavaneshwari Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna.
So it's an interesting verse. We see in this chapter, there has been a long conversation that has been going on. There's a long description of Prithu Maharaj has been going on for the last so many months. And we have been listening to the character, charitra of Prithu Maharaj, who is exemplary actually. Being a king, he is so pious, he is a pure devotee of the Lord, he is an incarnation of the Lord. But his character has been described in all these verses, and we are coming to the end of his pastime. And we see in this chapter specifically, Prithu Maharaj is meeting the four Kumaras. So the first part of the chapter, which is the first 17 verses, Prithu Maharaj welcomes the Kumaras, he worships the Kumaras, and then he asks questions to the Kumaras. So this is the process that has been going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is exemplifying this one process. What is it? It is to inquire. Which is very important. And we see in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam itself, in the first canto, who was inquiring? The sages of Naimisharana, headed by Saunaka Rishi. And if you look at the discussion that was going on between the sages of Naimisharana and whom they were inquiring from? Sutta Goswami. So they saw Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami entered the assembly of the sages, and they welcomed him, they worshipped him, they glorified him, and then they asked questions. Anyone remembers the question? How many questions were there?
Six.
Six questions. What were the questions? What was the first question? What is the ultimate good for all humanity? So this is the consciousness, and we see this one point or this one question has been repeated again and again by many personalities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, even Prithu Maharaj is asking this question: what is the ultimate good for all humanity? Because for devotees, they are not concerned about their own welfare; they are more concerned about the welfare of everyone. So they are not miser. It's called. They are not only thinking about their own self; they are thinking about the entire humanity. How can everyone be delivered? So that was the first question: what is the ultimate good for all humanity? Anyone knows the second question? Sorry?
Krishna's departed now, heirs of the scriptures.
Yeah, what was the appearance? That was the last question. So, the second question was, why did Krishna appear into this material world? And then they are asking about the Purusha Avataras of the Lord. And they are asking about the Lila Avataras of the Lord. So the activities of the Lord. And finally, they are asking, now that Krishna has departed from this material world, tell us, where has religion taken shelter? Like, because Krishna was the embodiment of religion, now Krishna is gone, how would people of Kali Yuga be able to progress into this material world? And the answer to that was, anyway, you remember the answer? Sorry? Srimad Bhagavatam.
Krishna Sodhama.
Yeah. There is a verse which Sutta Goswami answers, Krishna Sodhama Pagate, Dharma Gnanadi Visara, Kalanasada Shamesha, Purana Arko, Dhanandita. So, when after Krishna has departed, the Dharma Gnana, religion and knowledge have gone, but the Srimad Bhagavatam will be the torch-bearing light for the people of Kali Yuga who are in ignorance. So the point was that sages of Nandisharana asking this question to Suta Goswami: what is the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate benefit for all humanity? And they wanted to know what can benefit them. And the similar question was asked at the end of first canto by Parikshit Maharaj to whom? Sukadeva Goswami. So what was the question, that anyone remembers?
What should a dying person do?
That's right. What is the... First of all, he glorifies Sukadeva Goswami. He's saying, because you are spiritual master of all the saintly persons and devotees, so you are the perfect person to answer these queries. So this is also very important. One should approach and ask questions to a relevant personality. If you go into the street and ask the same question, what should be the duty of a person who is going to die? What will be the answer? Eat, drink and marry. Anyways, we are going to die. Just enjoy your life. Right? But Parikshit Maharaj is pointing this out. Because you are the spiritual master of all the devotees and saintly persons, therefore you are the you are the perfect person to ask this question. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? And there was a second question which Parikshit Maharaj asked. At the end of first canto.
What is the duty of people in general in all time and in all circumstances?
That's right. What is the duty of people in general with all times and circumstances? And he asks, what should one hear, chant, worship and do? What should be that person who is going to die should do at the end of his life or throughout his life? So who is Parikshit Maharaj speaking about? Person who is going to die. Who is it?
Himself.
We are not going to die. Right. He's asking for a person who is going to die, right? And who is not going to die here? Anyone has got a guarantee? He had a guarantee 7 days. Do we have a guarantee 7 days? No. We don't even have that guarantee. Yet he was backed by a guarantee. These days it's very difficult to find any product with guarantee. It's only warranty. They warranty you. Like. So, Parikshit Maharaj had a guarantee, but still he's asking, what is, and that is for each and every one of us, each and every living entity. Because, and this verse points out that, param padam, padam, desham, like at every step there is danger. At every step there is danger. So, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, and what was the reply of Sukadeva Goswami, which is in the first verse of second canto of first chapter? He glorifies this question. Sir, varyan ishata prashna krita loka hitam nripa atmavid samata humsam shottave dishu yaha para. So he glorifies this question. Sukadeva Goswami says, this question that you have asked is glorious because this is going to benefit all the humanity. And it has been authorized by all the saintly people. Because such atmavid samata, even the people who are sages or saintly people, they also get benefit from hearing the answers to this question. So this questions are glorious. Your questions are very glorious. Varyana ishata prashna. Your questions are glorious. And same we see in this line is followed, and even in this section we see Prithu Maharaj had asked the same questions to four Kumaras, and the answers of this section that we are studying, the answers are given by Sanat Kumara in verse 18 to 40. Like, what is the benefit? So, we are coming to the conclusion of Sanat. This is the last verse which Sanat Kumara speaks, answering the questions of Prithu Maharaj, and he speaks this. The whole section basically is glorifying different processes, but he's saying bhakti is the topmost. It is the ultimate goal of each and every humanity. So, and in bhakti, what is the topmost? To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the glorious. So in this verse, it is mentioned that this material world is compared to what? ocean. And Prabhupada makes point in the purport that it is compared to the Vaitarani ocean. So Vaitarani ocean is the ocean Prabhupada mentions, is the ocean where all the universes are floating like footballs. Imagine the ocean where the universes are floating like footballs, and you have been asked to swim into that ocean, to cross the ocean. Even an expert swimmer, if he is put into our normal ocean, he will struggle to swim across the ocean. So what to speak of swimming across the ocean which has got universes floating like football. And Prabhupada makes this point like, or in this verse it is, this point is made that even if one is an expert swimmer, but he still will have to go through a lot of austerities and penances if he wants to cross through this ocean without devotion. So it's not possible that one can cross this ocean without the process of devotional service. And the sharks are compared to, as we discussed before, it is mentioned dangerous sharks are there in the ocean. So what are the sharks?
Senses.
The six senses, which also are compared with threefold miseries of material world. What are the threefold miseries of material world? Sorry for putting all these questions, but it just keeps us awake. Yeah, so what else? Anyone remembers the Sanskrit word? Adhyatmik, Adhibhoti, and Adhidevi. The misery is caused by body and mind, misery is caused by other living entities, and misery is caused by natural calamities. So, we are suffering with this, and it is also mentioned the six senses, which includes the mind. So, we are struggling with these six senses. So why are we struggling? Why are we suffering? Even though we are superior in nature, we are part of superior. Krishna says, "Mamayamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana." We are part and parcel of the supreme. We are superior by nature. Then why are we suffering into this material world? Manas asrindrayani. What is the second part? Prakritisthani karshati. Because we are conditioned by nature. And why are we conditioned? What does condition mean? Sorry? Yeah, we are conditioned because we are associating with the material nature, we are associating with the gunas. Purusha prakriti stoi bhante prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sankashya prakriti sadasa yoni janmasu. So because we are associating with the gunas, we are thinking we are the body, we are suffering in this material world. So what is the solution given here? To take the lotus feet off the shelter. Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, it says Mamchavya Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Seveta Sarvanam Samatityaita Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. So one who performs devotional service, one who performs devotional service without fail, in failing in all circumstances, one transcends the modes and comes to the platform of Brahman, level of Brahman. So this is the solution given. There is a very important point which is mentioned in the mentioned in this purport. Prabhupada mentioned, indeed sometimes the people who are trying to go through different processes, by karma, jnana and yoga, they are trying to elevate themselves, they are trying to become liberated. They simply become so busy enjoying their troubles that they never cross the ocean. So this is one thing which one has to be very mindful of, not getting caught up into. Even as devotees we have to be very mindful, because sometimes when we are performing sadhana bhakti, what happens? We go into the autonomous mode. And in that autonomous mode, we perform bhakti as if it is a ritual. It becomes one of the, same with chanting. When we are chanting, we try to finish our rounds, and when we are doing it for a long period of time, it becomes autonomous. We just are into this mode of doing something on a regular basis, and we lose the raga part of it, we lose the emotion or attachment to the, why are we doing, we lose the goal, why are we doing that process? Mm-hmm. There is an interesting story in this connection, like once there was a devotee, not a devotee, once there was a person who went to one of the sages and he asked, I want to become rich, what should I be doing? So the sage said, like, there is a ocean, and on that ocean there is a, on that beach there are many stones, and one of the stones is hot, and when you get that stone, that is a Chintamani stone, that is a touch stone, you touch that stone to anything, it will become gold and you will become rich. So this person went to this beach where there were many stones, and he thought how to find the stone which is hot. So he started picking up the stone and throwing it into the ocean. So finally he thought, I'll take a stone which is hot enough, and then that is a touch stone. So he was filling the stone and throwing it into the ocean. So eventually he came, for many days, months he was doing this, and eventually took a stone which was hot. What did he do with that stone? Threw it into the ocean. Because he was used to throwing the stones into the ocean, he forgot the purpose why he was doing that. So, and he continued to do that. So this is, the story is very nice, because it explains, because we do some things on a regular basis so often that we forget the purpose. And that is what Prabhupada is warning. Indeed, sometimes they become so busy simply enjoying their troubles. One becomes used to those troubles that they never cross the ocean. They forget the purpose, why are they going through this trouble? So we have to be mindful, especially the process that is given is the sadhana bhakti that we have to perform. And in sadhana bhakti we come to the goal is, what is the goal of sadhana bhakti?
Krishna
prema. So when would Krishna prema come? So Raganuga Bhakti. The goal of sadhana bhakti, as explained in Nectar of Devotion, is Raganuga Bhakti. And Raganuga Bhakti is, what is Raganuga Bhakti? First of all, we'll have to understand what is sadhana bhakti. So what is sadhana bhakti? Practicing devotional service. Explained, there are six stages of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyasi vishwaso, guptritva, varnam, tatha karpanya. What is atma nikshetva karpanya, sadhida, sharana, gati. So, anukulyasya sankalpa, we perform activities which are favorable towards devotional service, and we reject things that are unfavorable. And also in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami has given six things that we should be doing, six things we should be doing. So, but the process of sadhana bhakti is to perform things, activities which are favorable, and reject things which are unfavorable. And then come to what stage? Rakshishyati Vishwaso Guptritva Varnantata. What does that mean? To come and to have faith, and Prabhupada makes this point at the end, that if one performs devotional service with faith, on the other hand, anyone who takes the process of devotional service and has faith that the lotus feet of the Lord are safe ports to cross the ocean, is certain to cross very easily and comfortably. So what does this mean, that to have faith that the lotus feet of the Lord are safe boats? When you are traveling in an aircraft to another country, right, what happens? You got full faith that this piece of iron is going to take you from one place to other. There was one person who had a dream, who had this dream of drowning or his flight crashing. He had this dream for many times. So what happened? He was not traveling in flight, because he couldn't get that faith that this flight is going to take me. He always had this dream. So he was scared of flying. So when it is mentioned here, we should have the faith in the boat, in the lotus feet of the Lord, that it is going to take us from this material. It is, we will be able to cross. And that is the process of sadhana bhakti. As we say in the six stages, six steps to surrender. What are the next two steps? Rakshishyadi Vishwasa, Guptakta Vandamata, what are they? Sorry? Yeah, Krishna is going to protect us. So the whole process of sadhana bhakti is to come to this point where we understand that Krishna is going to protect us. We should have full faith in our spiritual master and spiritual masters and Krishna, that they are going to protect us, as well as Guptakta Vandamata. Maintain us. He is our maintainer. He is our protector. So when we get to that stage where we are, and when we develop this complete faith that Krishna is going to protect us and Krishna is going to maintain us, then we come to the stage of, what are the last two stages of surrender? Atma, Nikshepa. What is that? What does Atma Nikshepa mean? Fully surrender. Then we come to the stage of fully surrender. And then it develops humility, karpanya, within us. But the process of sadhana bhakti is to first give up unfavorable things, accept favorable things, and come to the stage of full faith, full shraddha, that Lord is our protector and maintainer. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is asking us, or this verse is asking us to do, that although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. It's interesting, like the whole process of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives this process of, in the sixth chapter, Dhyan Yoga, he gives this whole process of yogic process, where one can practice devotional service by performing Ashtanga Yoga. The eight steps which are mentioned in there is Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyan, and Samadhi. And it is mentioned there are two stages. It is divided. Krishna is divided in the process into two stages. The Yoga Rukshu stage, which is the beginning stage, and the Yoga Ruda stage. And in that section, it is mentioned in both the stages, even in the beginning of Ashtanga Yoga, what is one thing required? Is complete mind control. One has to be on the platform of mind control, then he can perform yoga, he can come to the mind, the Yoga Ruda stage, which is the Dhyana stage. So, hearing this process, immediately, what did Arjuna say?
Not very practical.
Not practical or not possible. Not even practical. It's not possible. He said, I can control the
wind,
but to control the mind is not possible for me. So, again, in this verse we see, it is going through all this austerity and penances, it is not possible to control the mind, come to the stage of Yoga Ruda stage. Because ultimately, even if one comes to the Yoga Ruda stage, what is required of a person if he wants to become liberated, or if he wants to get out of this material world, go to the spiritual world? He still has to surrender to the Lord. Otherwise, it's not possible. And this is very nicely explained at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaks the whole Bhagavad Gita, gives all the different processes. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what is the last chapter called? Perfection of renunciation. In that chapter, Krishna summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita actually. And he categorizes it into three different stages. The confidential knowledge, more confidential knowledge, and most confidential knowledge. So he says, what does he say in confidential knowledge? Anyone remembers? The process of achieving Brahman is the confidential knowledge. But what has to be done when one achieves that level of Brahman? Krishna is saying, after one achieves the level of Brahman, he has to perform devotional service to the Lord. So that is confidential knowledge. One can perform all these processes, yoga processes of dhyan, karma, yoga, then come to the level of Brahman and then perform devotional service to the Lord. And that is confidential knowledge. And then he comes to the next level. He says, there is something which is more confidential that I have spoken. And that is surrender onto anyone remembers? Paramatma. So come to the platform of Paramatma realization. And that is more confidential than coming to the level of Brahman. And what do you do when you surrender to, when you come to the level of Paramatma realization? You see, then you surrender onto the Lord. Then you surrender onto the Lord within the heart. And that is more confidential. And finally comes to the last section where he says, now I am going to tell you the most confidential knowledge. So what is the most confidential knowledge? Yeah, he gives the conclusion. He says, pure bhakti to me, pure devotional service to me is the most confidential knowledge, and it is not available to everyone. So he says in verse 65, he says, Madmana bhava madhapta madhyajima namaskuru maham avishyasi satyante pratijane priyosimi. So this was a question by Parikshit Maharaj also, right? What should one hear, chant, worship? And Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is telling at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, meditate, think of me, bhava mat bhakto, become my devotee, worship me. So he's giving this process. But again, it is mentioned one can commit aparadhas while performing this process also. So Krishna is going further and saying, don't worry about the sins that you commit. What is the next verse? Anyone remember? Sarva dharman parityaja. Forget about all the other religions. Sarva dharman parityaja. Maam ekam sarvam parityaja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo. Even if you are committing any offenses while performing those processes, while worshipping me, while meditating on me, chanting my names, even if you are performing any offenses, I'll take away all those offenses. Sarva dharman parityaja. Maam ekam sarvam parityaja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo. Mokshayami maam swacham. I'll give you liberation. That's guaranteed. And this is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So this is the process. And the last point that Prabhupada makes in this purport is, what happens to a person who is trying to elevate himself, a yogi kind of person? He cannot. Dangerous elements in the universe are compared to the sharks in the ocean. Even though one may be very expert swimmer, he cannot possibly survive if he is attacked by sharks. And as we saw, the sharks are the senses. So when the person is attacked by shark, by the senses, it is very difficult to overcome that if he has not got hold of something which is substantial. Param drishtva nivartate. One has to have something high, one has to have higher taste. If one does not have a higher taste, but if one is trying to subdue his senses just by penance and austerity, he will fall down. And we have seen in history, there are so many rishis and so many saintly people who have just fallen down, become prey to any of the rishis who fell down, who were so exalted, but after so many years of tapasya also they fell down. Saubhari Muni. He had completely cut off himself from the material world. He was not even associating with any humans so that he doesn't fall down. But what did he become prey to? Yeah. Just a fish. Just looking at the fish interacting with each other. He fell down. So the process it is mentioned is, it's very difficult when the sharks attack. One often sees the many so-called swamis and yogis sometimes advertise themselves as component to cross the ocean of nescience and to help others cross. but in actuality they are found to be simple victims of their own senses. Instead of helping their followers to cross the ocean of nescience, such swamis and yogis fall prey to Maya, represented by the fair-sex woman, and are thus devoured by the sharks in that ocean. So this is number one enemy. Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the number one enemy of all humanity is
lust.
And where, what are the sitting places of lust? Senses, mind and intelligence. And Krishna compares, gives three analogies. The first analogy given is fire covered by smoke. Then second one is mirror covered by
dust.
And the third one is embryo covered by the womb. So embryo covered by the womb is the process. And that's, we see most of the people today are in that kind of covering. They've got no intelligence, they've got no inclination towards scriptures or towards devotional service. They're completely blind in ignorance. And then when one starts performing devotional service, when one starts, it's a clearing stage. It comes to the stage of mirror covered by dust. So it's very difficult to see an embryo within the womb. But when the mirror is covered by dust, you can at least see a little bit, and it's easy to clear the dust off the mirror and you will be able to see oneself clearly. So that is when one is starting to perform devotional service, the sadhana bhakti is compared to the mirror covered by dust. And then one comes to the platform of fire covered by smoke. So even though when there is fire, there is smoke, but still one can feel the heat and light. So that is the lightest. So that is the stage where one begins his Krishna consciousness. So these are the three stages of lust, how person is covered. So by practice of sadhana bhakti, we have to come to the stage where we are like the fire covered by smoke. Of course, that is not the goal, but at least we come to that stage where we can progress and come to the platform of raganava bhakti. The process, so that is the process explained here, is by taking the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, by worshipping the Lord, by following the processes. And Prahlad Maharaj has given the 9 steps. So we perform sadhana bhakti to come to this stage of ultimately raganava bhakti and prema bhakti, but the clearing stage. So I'll stop here. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes.
Raganava bhakti is also, yeah, sadhana bhakti. Yeah, so. Yeah, so sadhana bhakti has got 2 components. The first component is Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is we follow all the rules and regulations. And the second component of sadhana bhakti is raganava bhakti. Where raganava bhakti is the, when that sadhana bhakti, right now, what are the things that we are doing in our sadhana bhakti? What are the activities that we do in sadhana bhakti?
Chanting.
The main is chanting. Then there are 9 things Prahlad Maharaj has already given: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Adhisevanam, Arshanam, Mandam, Sakhyam, Dasyam, Atmanyam. So these are the 9 steps which are given, right? So mainly we do chanting, hearing, Kirtan. So these are the processes. When this process is, how many of you are chanting 16 rounds or 32 rounds or 64 rounds, whatever rounds we are chanting, early in the morning? Many of us, but willingly. Many of us are doing willingly, but we sleep just to wake up to chant. Yeah. It's not so natural for us. We struggle to, sometimes we struggle to finish our rounds. So it's not so natural. So when the sadhana, when that sadhana becomes raga, and what is that raga? Spontaneous. Where you, before sleeping, you think, when will I wake up so that I can chant the rounds? Why should I be sleeping, in fact? And we see this in the life of Srila Prabhupada and many of the acharyas. How much time did they used to sleep at night?
4 hours.
Couple of hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, right? So they used to sleep just couple of hours, just because they used to sleep just to support the body so that it can function for devotional service. Not that I recommend everyone should sleep 2 hours, because we'll break our body. We are not on our, on that level, right? So, but the process of sadhana bhakti is to come to that platform of radhana bhakti where we do things spontaneously. The things don't change, the activities don't change, but it's just the consciousness which does a shift. There's a shift in the consciousness where one is performing spontaneously, where one wants to do, where one wants to chant, where one, when is eating prasadam, is not thinking about how good it will taste, but is thinking about my Lord has tasted this and I'm taking the remnants of the Lord. Where one is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he can see Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's not really reading forcefully because I have to complete one chakra every day. My spiritual master has asked me to read one chapter, so I am reading it. No, you have to read because there is attraction towards Shastra. So he does things, the same activities he does, but the consciousness has changed now. So that is Raghavanava Bhakti. And then, the what does Raghavanava Bhakti culminate into? Bhava Bhakti. And Nectar of Instruction, there is a nice description of Bhava, and then comes Prema. But for our stage, if we are able to do perform perfect sadhana bhakti and come to raganuga bhakti, we will consider ourselves fortunate. So, but the process, whole process is to perform sadhana bhakti in such a way, and that is why this past time, this story that we heard of a person who is doing this activity of throwing stones every day, suddenly comes to the goal, but he forgets the goal. So we always have to remember what is the goal of our activities that we are, of our sadhana bhakti. So what is the goal of, so okay, let's ask this question. What is the goal of our sadhana bhakti? To get, what is Krishna prema?
To achieve full faith in the shelter.
Sorry?
To achieve full faith in into the shelter of the lotus feet.
To achieve full faith in the shelter of the lotus feet. Yeah? To get Shraddha, which is again, when you have got full Shraddha, what does it mean? Prema, you mentioned, right? So what is the goal of our sadhana bhakti?
Surrender to Krishna.
Surrender to Krishna. All of these answers are right. It's not like I'm saying you all are wrong. These answers are right. But we see in the pastimes, when we come to 10th canto, we hear the pastimes, the dealings of who are the topmost devotees of Lord? Gopis. And what was their consciousness? And one of the pastimes, sorry, yes. That's right. They don't care about what is their destiny if that pleases the Lord. They're going, they're ready to go to any extent, especially when you hear pastimes from 21 chapter onwards, you hear when Krishna plays his flute. So what happens when Krishna plays his flute? And in that section it is explained, the gopis were doing different activities and they leave everything and they rush to where Krishna was. And not only that, some of them were dressing themselves, they were half dressed, they wore clothes at the different places, they were putting on mascara and all, they put it on different places and they did not care how they look, they did not care what activities they were doing, they were serving their family, they did not care, they just left. And we cannot understand this pastime actually, we cannot understand the mood of the gopis, but one thing we can understand is we have to come to the level where we are ready to do anything for our spiritual master or for the Lord. When we say for the Lord, it is whatever, because Lord is not going to speak to us. How is Lord going to speak to us? Through our spiritual master. So when we have to come to that, and Prabhupada pointed out, we have to come to that platform where you have got full Shraddha or full faith or full surrender. What does that mean? When your spiritual master asks you to do something, you just do it without doubt. And there's a nice pastime in that regards. Once Srila Prabhupada was going on a train. And when he was going on a train, there was one stop which came, I think it was Surat. At that time the train stopped, and Srila Prabhupada asked two of his disciples, just go get down off this at this station and build a temple. And these were Western devotees. They had been to India for the first time. And Prabhupada is asking in this new country just to get down and build a temple. And they don't even know what station it is, where they are. Or where to ride, where is Srila Prabhupada going, they don't know anything. But their faith was so strong, they just got off and started the moment they started Sankirtan. So that is the faith that we need, and this is not like Bhagavatam pages past time. This is just which has happened 40-50 years ago, and those devotees are still there, right? So this is the faith that one needs in a spiritual master, that if my spiritual master has asked me to do something, it is going to happen. I just have to be the instrument, and that is the mood of Arjuna. Parishya was. What does Arjuna tell in the at the end of Bhagavad Gita? Parishya Vachanam Tava. Whatever you have told me, I am just going to follow. So this is the conclusion we have to come to. This is the level we have, and that is real Raghava Bhakti, where you have got full faith, full surrender in the words of the Lord, in the words of your spiritual master. Sorry, Prabhupada, I'm not sure I answered the question or not. But that was an interesting discussion, I think. Any other things, Prabhupada?
As you said, the material world is like an ocean. So you said there are boats in the ocean. Are all of the boats of bhakti, or are they of different things?
Yeah, so material world, and it is mentioned in this verse that this material world is the ocean, and there are different boats. Yes, and the different boats are the boats of? We'll read that. Non-devotees who do not take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord try to cross the ocean of nescience by other methods. Karma, Gnana and Yoga. So yes, there are different methods to cross the ocean. And the people who are not pure devotees, devotees of the Lord, they try to cross the ocean by different boats. So imagine, even you know different boats. There are small boats, there is a big ship, there is then the cruise liners. If you want to go from here to US, and if you go into a small boat, what will happen?
You will sink.
Yeah, at one stage you will run out of fuel and you will be nowhere. You won't be able to come back, you will not be able to go anywhere. And you will sink. The only option you will have is to swim then. Right? And it might not be possible for you to swim back. Even if you are a few kilometers away, it won't be possible. Right? So, there are different boats, but as it is mentioned in this verse, these boats are not suitable to cross the ocean of nescience, cross this vast ocean. So it's best to take the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, to serve the Lord, and he gives a guarantee that I'll take you home, back home. Sajatam kirta yantama yitanta sadhridvata namasyanta sriman bhakta nite ukta pasate. So you'll come to me, you just have to perform devotional service continuously. That's all we are doing. Answer. Yes, Prabhu.
That you said the goal of our bhakti is Krishna Prema. But then how do we get that Krishna Prema?
Okay, so the goal of bhakti is Krishna Prema, and how do we get Krishna Prema? It's difficult for me to answer this, I haven't wrote that. But from the scriptures we can understand, from nectar of devotion we can understand, when we perform sadhana bhakti, when we perform chanting, when we do chanting, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is not different than Krishna himself. So by performing these activities, it is like Bhagavatam gives that you are associating with fire and you are like an iron. What happens if you put the iron into the fire? The iron becomes red hot. Have you seen that? No, we should show you some videos. Especially when you take into engineering, if you grow, you'll see, do this practically. So you put an iron into the fire and eventually that iron becomes red hot. And when it becomes red hot, you can hit it and bend it and you can make different shapes out of iron. But if you have to do that with normal iron, you won't be able to bend it. Right? So that's why they heat it up. And so the process of bhakti is like that. The activities that we do, because we are associating with Srimad Bhagavatam, which is none different than Krishna himself. When we are chanting, we are taking the names of the Lord, right? Which is none different. The names of the Lord are none different than the Lord himself. When we are worshipping the Lord, it is same like us associating with the Lord. So Lord is like a fire and we are like iron. When you associate, when this combination comes, we become spiritualized. We also become, we gain the qualities of the Lord. And at that time, then you automatically develop, there is a relationship each and every living entity has with the Lord. And then when you are purified, when you heat up gold, when you heat up gold into fire, it becomes pure. And similarly, when we associate with the Lord, we become pure. And at that time, we can understand our relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is full of prema, love. And then you realize prema, you come to the platform of prema. Got that point? Easy? Yeah, very easy. Okay, we land here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.